All right, what can I get you?
The brunch special, please.
Perfect. And you? Excellent choice.
Brunch is best when it's enjoyed with others. And who better to share it with than your four-legged bestie? Come by Park and Field at 3509 West Fullerton Avenue on July 27th and July 28th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. and get a free sample of Caesar, Neutro Ultra, Temptations, or Sheba pet food. Then sign up and enter to win free brunch for not just you, but your pet too. For more details, go to marsbrunchwithyourbestie.com.
What's good? It's Colleen Witt, and Eating While Broke is back for Season 3, brought to you by the Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeartRadio. We're serving up some real stories and life lessons from people like Van Lathan, DC Youngfly, Bone Thugs and Harmony, and many more. They're sharing the dishes that got them through their struggles and the wisdom they gained along the way. We're cooking up something special, so tune in every Thursday. Listen to Eating While Broke on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Johann Schmiegel, you've got the world's highest IQ.
Yes, 247.
Wow, did you know that thanks to Salesforce with Einstein AI, everyone's smarter? Now everyone's an Einstein, just like you.
But I'm the smartest.
Not anymore. With connected data and trusted AI, everyone can give customers experiences they've only dreamed of. Oh, look, here's a few Einsteins now.
Hey, hi.
Hola, amigo.
Everyone's an Einstein?
It's okay, Johann, let it happen. The number one AI CRM. Now everyone's an Einstein with Salesforce.
Warning, today's episode contains spoilers for The Acolyte, Episode 6. Hello! My name is Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Rosie Knight, whose co-host is clearly a Wookiee today. And I love it. I'm happy about it.
And welcome back to X-Ray Vision, the podcast where we dive deep into your favorite shows, movies, comics, and pop culture, coming to you from iHeart Podcast, where we're bringing you two action-packed episodes every week, Tuesday and Thursday.
In today's episode, we got news for you. In the previously on comic book news, it's everywhere. In the airlock, we're stepping out of the airlock and onto a very familiar unnamed island for the Acolyte episode 6. In Who's Who, we're going to be talking about our favorite Sith and our favorite lightsabers.
But first, news. First up, there was a fan event in Shanghai in which about half an hour's worth of Deadpool and Wolverine was screened. And now the details about that screening have hit the internet.
They have. So beware of spoilers.
If you want to know nothing at all
and
about
nothing,
Deadpool,
nothing,
then don't listen to the following 30 to 45 seconds because I'm going to give you the headline takeaways.
Do it.
That have hit the internet.
So turn off now if you don't want to hear.
The movie has this is all according to leaks that have appeared on social and Reddit and everywhere. The film has a violent connection with the end of the Logan film.
Mm-hmm.
That's not much. That's not much of a spoiler.
I mean, but also that to me is good because I was worried that that might have been a bit too serious. I'm hoping that means that we're going to see lovely Daphne Keen, RIP Jackie, come back as X-23. Feels like it's a done deal.
There are variants of Logan.
Makes sense.
There are a lot of Fox and Disney jokes. Of course.
That was just to be expected. I saw that there is Lady Deadpool. And while people thought it was going to be Taylor Swift, apparently people are now thinking it's Blake Lively, which would be hilarious.
Hello. It's all in the family.
It's all in the family,
there.
Baby. Nepo Deadpool.
It's another takeaway appears to be that the everything in the trailer is in the first 40 minutes of the film. That's standard procedure,
That's
I think.
That's smart. I'm glad Disney's going back to that.
And finally, it felt like a combination of the feeling of Avengers Endgame and mixed with Deadpool's tone. Okay.
I mean, if that's not just like over fan hyperbole, that could be a big thing. Is this movie going to make $1 billion? Will it be as big as Inside Out 2? I think it could be. I think people want to know what an R-rated MCU movie looks like.
Well, the tracking is very good. And you can tell the tracking is very good by the fact that they're showing 30 to 40 mm-hmm. minutes mm-hmm. of this movie 2.5 weeks before the movie is going to come out. Like, that's, they know
that they got something good. And they know they're going to get people excited. Plus, it's going to Europe next. And I think you're going to get to see that big Hollywood style global press tour because Sean Levy, Hugh Jackman, and Ryan Reynolds were all in Shanghai for this event. And it's going to be Europe next. Will they show the same 30 minutes? Will they show different stuff as we get closer? When are the screenings going to be? Disney, please tell me and Jason when the screenings are going to be. We would like to go and see the movie. But yeah, I'm very excited. I think this sounds cool. And I love that they started this in Shanghai.
Next up, legendary artist Alex Ross Mm-mm-mm. producing a documentary about legendary artist Alex Ross.
The legend of Kingdom Come.
The legend of myself.
The legend of me. Alex Ross, who, by the way, was only 26 when he drew this book, which I think is one of the most insane things I've ever heard. And he was 24 when he did the Marvels. Kingdom Come, it's basically like you've seen the paintings. It's this very dark Elseworlds story about some certain heroes. You should really go read it because I don't want to spoil it for you. But something that's very interesting is it is seems like it's going to be a big influence on the old James Gunniverse. And it's just a 4-issue miniseries with Mark Waid, Alex Ross. And basically, this is about like a kind of demagogue called Magog, who kind of starts killing people like the Joker. So all the superheroes retire, and lo and behold, that doesn't go well. And then kind of new superheroes have to team up with old superheroes. And Alex Ross, what I'm most excited about with this documentary is this man loves to paint his friends and paint himself as superheroes. And they're always the chunkiest, thickest guys.
Chunky men. They're like all 45,
they're all 45
to 52
years
old.
And they're all like buff, chubby, like a Gengar Tagame, like painting. Like I want to see this. I'm also interested because a lot of the promotion I saw for it was like DC Comics Kingdom Come. But I think this is just an Alex Ross project. And if you know Alex Ross, if you've ever been to San Diego Comic-Con, that man has like a full Alex Ross gallery in San Diego.
Oh, full
like
gallery.
A full
gallery show. Did I buy his X-Men? Did I buy his X-Men painting? Yes, I did buy a print of his X-Men painting.
So the Kickstarter is not live yet, but we thought you guys might want to know about it. I know a lot of your Kingdom Come fans. If you go to Kickstarter, you can find it and you can get notified on launch, which they're saying is fall 2024. So that should be very interesting. I think this supports the fact. I think this might be Alex trying to say, hey, look at this great work I did, because I think some of it is going to translate to the James Gunn movie. The spoiler images that we've seen of Mr. Terrific, he looks exactly like the drawing that Alex Ross did for Kingdom Come. So yeah, very interesting stuff. I love a weird comic book documentary. The question is, will this one come out soon, or will it be like the recently released Frank Miller American Legend or whatever it's called that literally took 10 years to release? Let's hope it takes quicker than that.
Next up, Empire Magazine has official exclusive stills from Agatha All Along. You can see those now and you can find them on the internet. And they are appropriately witchy.
Very witchy.
The series drops September 18th. Two episode launch and confirmed 9 episode series length. Excited for this one, long awaited.
Yeah, looks great. Very excited. The only thing we know about it so far from this report is that it's about a group of covenless witches who kind of come together. I'm also stoked because they said it's really fun but really scary. And I think like we need more of that. I'm a fun, scary guy. I love a good horror comedy. So yeah. Cast looks amazing. I can't believe it's actually coming out. This felt like one of those shows that was never going to come out. So congratulations to everyone in this show. It's coming out.
And finally, per Variety, Will Reeves, the youngest son of legendary actor and, of course, legendary Superman actor Christopher Reeves, will appear in James Gunn's Superman.
Love that, fam.
Keep it in the family. It's fun. James, I mean, Christopher Reeves, iconic.
Iconic.
As Superman.
And James is actually doing really great work with this, not only with representing the comic books it was influenced in, but he also played a part, I believe. There was a recent Christopher Reeves documentary that was called Superman with a slash between. And James Gunn saw it and was like, Warner Brothers needs to be the one who is putting this out. Like, this should be us. So he's doing a lot of work to bring in the families of people who were involved. And I hope we see that extend to maybe having, we saw the comic creators visiting the set. Maybe you have some families of the comic creators who passed away come to the set, maybe be involved. I think this is a really sweet way to pay homage to the man who to many people still is Superman.
Next up, The Acolyte, episode 6.
It's happening.
All right, what can I get you?
The brunch special, please.
Perfect. And you? Excellent choice.
Brunch is best when it's enjoyed with others. And who better to share it with than your four-legged bestie? Come by Park and Field at 3509 West Fullerton Avenue on July 27th and July 28th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. and get a free sample of Caesar, Neutro Ultra, Temptations, or Sheba pet food. Then sign up and enter to win free brunch for not just you, but your pet too. For more details, go to marsbrunchwithyourbestie.com.
Have you made the switch to Knix? Millions of women have made the switch to the revolutionary period underwear from Knix. That's K-N-I-X. Period panties from Knix are like no other, making them the number one leak-proof underwear brand in North America. They're comfy, stylish, and absorbent, perfect for period protection from your lightest to your heaviest days. They look, feel, and machine wash just like regular underwear, but feature incognito protection that has you covered. You can shop sizes from extra small to 4XL. Choose from all kinds of colors, prints, and different styles, from bikinis to boy shorts, thongs to high-rise. You've got to try Knix. See why millions are ditching disposable, wasteful period products and have switched to Knix. Go to knix.com and get 15% off with promo code TRY15. That's Knix.com, promo code TRY15 for 15% off life-changing period underwear. That's KNIX.com.
College Ave is here to help you pay for college. We offer a mix of loan options to fit your budget, and our application process is simple and stress-free. Go to collegeav.com, apply in minutes, and get an instant credit decision. It's that easy. Only at collegeav.com.
On an unknown planet.
Looks familiar.
Looks familiar-ish.
Yeah.
Osha wakes up in a base of some sort. And she sees belongings. Clearly, some of them belonging to May around. Mm-hmm. There's cute little creatures running around. Mm-hmm. And she kind of stumbles out to the entrance of the base and finds herself on an island, a kind of mountainous type of
very
small
lush
island.
Green. Look, it's giving Acto. They say it's an unnamed island.
It's giving very strong
Acto. It's giving very strong Acto vibes, where remember we did see a master and his potential Padawan mm-hmm. having some important storylines, including Darth Plagueis. But guess what? Osha is not there alone. She is accompanied by the very hot Sith Lord. Knight of Ren, someone known
Sith
as
Sith Lord in training.
Sith Lord in training, and Chimer slash the Stranger slash whoever you think he is. He's in the waters of the island, and he is naked.
Hey, listen, killing half a dozen Jedi at a trot, and several like weird manta ray, flying manta ray creatures. It's sweaty, dirty business.
And this man likes
and
to
after
be clean.
That, you got to get cleaned up. Chimer strips down, gets in the water, and takes a little bath. Meanwhile, as this is going on, mm-hmm. May, of course, has infiltrated Saul's ship under the guise of being her twin sister, Osha. And she's kind of
investigating.
Waiting for the right moment to strike. But meanwhile, our good friend Basil, big nose.
Oh my gosh, Basil.
Big olfactory sensors.
I was a Basil battalion, but I do feel like in this episode, Basil has gone from cute, weird creature to absolute snitch. So he's actually on my bad books. I do not support him anymore. He is sniffing around the ship and he's like got Pip and he puts Pip on to charge and he's like, oh, you know, something smells off here. And Sol, I have to say, is acting very suspicious.
He's acting really weird.
He can kind of get in touch with the Jedi, but not. And then he's going downstairs and he's crying and he's punching the table. And I'm like, sir, yeah, you're not supposed to feel anger. Remember?
Well, he's acting like the way someone acts when, you know, their significant other has been like, let me see your phone.
And exactly. Phone. Oh my
That's
gosh.
That's how he's acting.
Absolutely. And so it's like, really, what I love about this episode, which is something our Discord pointed out too, is like, you get this switch here where the entire time Osha has been kind of the funny mechnic and she's playing around with her droid, yeah, and she's getting to have these adventures. And Mei is the dark assassin. She's on the dark side. She's killing Jedi. But in this, we get this tone switch where, you know, Osha picks up a lightsaber and sexy Sith stranger played by the super hot Manny Jacinto is like looking at her like, do it, just do it. Like, you can kill me. Like, doesn't it feel good to hold it? Doesn't it feel good to feel the force running through you? Well, meanwhile, Mei is getting like shot in the eye by like fuel on Sol's ship because Pip's trying to like get her in trouble and she's getting comedy beats. And I just thought that was such a fun little way to twist it around and kind of give us a different insight into each of these characters. And really, like, I do feel like Mei, you made the wrong choice sneaking onto that ship because Osha's definitely having a better time.
Well, to that end, Kymer's in the water. He strips all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
Osha's like, well, I got to see this. And one thing we see is a gnarly scar.
Oh, yeah.
On Kymer's back. Mm-hmm. Gnarly, 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 gnarly.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, Osha kind of sneaks down to his pile of clothes, picks up the lightsaber, and you get the feeling that this is what Kymer was
hoping.
Knew this would happen. Yeah. He sensed that it could happen. And then something like the seduction begins. Mm-hmm. He's being very charming. He's being very relaxed.
Yep.
He's like, doesn't it feel great to hold
he's
a lightsaber?
He's taking the seduction like, to a new level. Because he's like,
is it okay if I put my clothes on?
Yeah, yeah. The line that launched 1,000 fanfics where he says, if you're not going to join me, I'd like to put my clothes on now.
I mean, that was
okay,
crazy.
Okay, enemies to lovers YA book.
Know, right?
Okay. Like, and then the best part, and I have to say, I did not clock this, but our Discord, my incredible friend and editor, Amelia at IGN, because I wrote a big piece about this for them, which will be live now. And Osha takes a full eyeful of Kymer's packet.
Desire is the path.
Like,
desire is the path to the dark side.
Her eyeline is right on his junk, and it is very hilarious, and lots of memes have been done. But I love the fact that he's like naked, and he's like, you know, desire, anger, those are the things that like connect us to the force, you know? Are you feeling any desire right now? And then he puts on, this is very interesting, and Aaron kind of pointed this out, our super producer, before he came on, but like, he has these crispy white robes. Like, these are not Sith robes. This is someone who likes to play with the notion of who is good, who is bad. And definitely, I think you're right. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Osha is much better than me because I would be like, that's it. I'm in. Like, whatever you're selling, I'm doing it. Like, I believe I would be a sucker for this seduction. And I loved this because I felt like it was a very nuanced look at like who's bad, who's good. But I love this take that I saw in our Discord, which was like, actually, you're being seduced. Like, you are falling for the seduction to the dark side. That is what this episode puts you in the mind of. It's showing how you can be seduced.
Meanwhile, on the ship, as you mentioned, Osha is
Mei.
Mei is sneaking around. Basil, it has sniffed out that there's something wrong here. There's a little bit of a confrontation, both Basil and with Pip, that ends with Osha. And I found this quite disturbing, actually. Osha factory resets.
Oh, Mei.
Pip.
Mei. Yeah. I know.
Mei as Osha factory resets Pip, which, I mean, if you.
I was very upset by this.
If you consider droids sentient, which
I do.
This was fucking evil.
Okay.
Was it not?
This is very evil, but also, like, I was really upset about it, but Nick was, like, reassuring me. He was like, don't worry. Like, actually, you know, I think, like, Pip's just pretending. Like, she thinks she knows okay. The factory reset, but actually, Pip just turned those little eyes red and was, like, hiding, you know, to... Because if not, that is, like, evil. That's, like, giving someone a lobotomy. Like, don't do it. Don't reset the factory settings, which I also thought was really funny, because... That's such a modern phrase, I feel like. Like, I was thinking about my phone.
Very
and I was like, okay, May. And so she does that. And then that, I think, is really when Saul realizes that it's not.
Yeah.
Saul's been blinded and by the anger and he's the fugue. Just, and he didn't upset. Realize, you know, when May, as Osha, comes onto the ship, he wraps her up in this huge hug that's very un-Jedi-like. But I think when he sees Pip with the red eyes, he's like, oh, this is not Osha, you know? So then what does he do? Well, he stuns her. Just shoots her with a stun gun. Sir, what are you thinking?
Well, listen, I don't think there are any good answers, to be honest
true,
with you,
true, true.
Right now. Back on Love Island, mm-hmm. he fit, isn't he?
Oh. He is fit in Chimer.
Chimer is kind of telling May a little bit about himself mm-hmm. by way of his gear. He's talking about his Cortosis helmet, which many had figured out was a Cortosis helmet.
Yeah, we were right. And you were right. Everyone was right.
Everyone was right. And this helmet apparently is based on
I thought that was so good.
The sensory deprivation helmets that the Jedi train with, of course, the famous scene with Luke with mm-hmm. the blast shield down on the Millennium Falcon. And this allows the wearer to essentially be alone with the mm-hmm. Force. No other sensory input is coming in except that which the Force mm-hmm. allows you
and it stops
to see.
Jedis from being able to mind wipe you, which is obviously something that is really huge and is going to be a big storyline for this season because it's been a recurring thought with Chimer. We've learned about, we saw the witches do it to Torbin. We know that maybe yep. May and Osha's memories aren't the same. And, you know, May said to Osha that she'd been brainwashed. So the Cortosis helmet is a big deal. He also says, you know, this is based on how Jedi's train. And Osha's like, well, how would you know that? And he's like, I was a Jedi. Hashtag Venestra was right.
You got me.
You got me. I was a Jedi, but I was thrown away, just like you.
That's right. He also says, you know, I was trying to work with your sister. I was wrong about her. We didn't have the same goals. Like, she's just like strictly out for revenge. And so I was just like, well, what were you looking for? And he's like, I'm looking for, Bamba. What does he say, Rosie?
The power of two.
Bamba!
So this to me was obviously...
If you needed any more confirmation,
this was very
this
Sith.
Is it.
This is very Sith-coded. Yes. But I do also will say, our Discord has been having a lot of discussions about this episode. It's definitely been like a talking point. I will say something I saw was someone was like, I feel like it could equally be about that, or it could be like looking for a Force dyad. Like he wants both of the yeah. twins. But Power of Two, it's kind of like the Rule of Two, which is a rule that the Sith brought in where there can only be two Sith Lords at any time. And the assumption is, you will have an apprentice and a master, and when the apprentice becomes strong enough, they will kill the master and they will get an apprentice, and it is like an ongoing, you know, thing. I'm wondering, like, does he want that because he has a master that he hasn't killed and he wants his apprentice to help? Does he want it because he did kill his Sith master? Also, big question here, is his Sith master Darth Plagueis? Because that is the big theory right now, is that he was potentially the Padawan, the apprentice, as the Sith calls it, of Darth Plagueis, or maybe even I saw a Darth Bane, you know. I'm very interested because I also think one of my favorite theories that I've seen in the Discord was actually the way you kill a Jedi without a weapon is you turn a Jedi and you kill the dream, you know. So I do wonder if Saul is ultimately going to be the one who turns to the dark side because he's already feeling anger. He's already feeling love. He's already feeling, you know, hate. He almost killed an unarmed person, which Jedi are not supposed to do. Though I do think if he'd have killed Chimer in that moment, no one would have been mad about it because, like, he had just killed, like, 10 Jedi. But, you know, I feel like Saul already has those tendencies that we come to think of about people turning to the dark side. So I feel like there's a lot to kind of, this feels like a lot to answer in two episodes.
I completely agree. Meanwhile, Venestra has received like fragmentary updates from Saul, from her Padawan. It's like, I don't know, Saul hollowed in and it's...
And it sounds bad, bro.
Everybody might be dead. Should we tell the Jedi Council? And Venestra's like, I don't know.
She's like, I'm going to Kofar. And it's like, babe, you're
I'm
too late.
I'm going myself. How do you know that that's where he is? Because I sent him there. Uh-oh.
And she goes and we get to see her using her you know, she doesn't like hyperspace. We get that from the books. We get that funny kind of little nod there. But she still goes. And on the planet, we see her using something that we often see in the Star Wars games, you know, where she can kind of sense what's happened in an area, like force memories. So, you know, she understands, even though her funny young English kind of Jedi she brings along does not understand. He's like, oh, no. I guess Master Saul must have just killed them all because who else could have done it? And she's like, oh, fuck. She's like, there's a fucking Sith. Like, this is definitely like, and the young guy doesn't get it. So she's like, we're off. Like, we got to go. We got to find out what's going on.
And then finally, May wakes up on the ship with Saul. And Saul is like, finally, like, I know you, okay, you went through my iMessage and you saw some weird things. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you finally, like,
what that's about. The only way I can do that is if I have you, like, shackled to this table. Bad plan, Saul. And lest we not forget, he turned off the transponder after the Jedi were like, hey,
there's
we can find you,
afoot.
We can find you.
There's something
strange. And he says to her, he says, I've thought for so many years, like, what I would say if we met again. And I'm like, is it good? Is it bad? Are you apologizing? Because I feel like shackling her to the table, very dark side, bro. Like, you're not winning any points. You're not revealing the truth about what's on your phone. Like, this is, it's looking bad for you. And in a great moment, I know everyone loves, because it's so Star Wars, as the show comes, episode comes to an end, Osha puts on the Cortosis helmet and begins to breathe. And yeah, the credits roll.
Well, okay. Lots to talk about here in a short amount of time.
We're going
to notice, I have to note that, you know, the power of two is the exact verbiage that the witches used.
Yep.
So what is this Sith connection? Is it real?
Is he even a Sith is he a kid that was on the island?
Yeah, we had earlier hypothesized that he might have a connection to that coven somehow. I still think that's in play because, as you noted, who's his master? It doesn't seem as if...
And he says he had a Jedi master, too, so...
He says he had a Jedi master. I think there's a world in which, you know, like Luke and Ben Solo, that some Jedi master felt the darkness in Chimaer and then was like, I have to do away with him, like that, you know, like we saw in the most recent trilogy.
Okay, so after this episode, who is the real villain? That's the thing. Chimaer, he did seduce me, I will admit, but I will say they definitely play here with, like, Chimaer doesn't tie Osha up. Chimaer offers Osha to use the ship to leave. Chimaer is kind. Chimaer makes her food. Whereas Saul's choice with May, and I was, May has killed some Jedi, so I understand. But he did just like shackle her to a table and then disconnect
let me take the devil's advocate.
Okay.
I think isolating a person, yes, you know, Osha was given freedom of the island, but isolating a person away from their friends and family is kind of
very
like,
abusive move.
Is kind of like grooming 101.
Yeah,
like,
it's cult vibes.
It's cult. Cult 101 is like step one is like, oh, you're free to go anywhere you want in this pretty big prison. So, and I think that we talked about seduction. I think that this is, it's kind of encapsulating a lot of the conversations that go around with Star Wars. It's like, listen, Anakin was a really nice, charming guy when he wasn't slaughtering like
children,
kids, you know, and blowing up. Or, you know, standing by as planets were blown up. So I think people contain multitudes, and part of the way that seduction would work, and certainly would work if you mm-hmm. were a Sith, is you're not a dick all the time. You're not a crazy,
yeah, it's like being in
violent,
an abusive
killer
relationship.
All the, time.
The abuser is nice yeah. to other people.
Right. Now, to continue the devil's advocate, I also think there's a world in which if you're Saul, you're like, well, this person was the ally or assistant mm-hmm. of someone who I just watched kill half a dozen of my friends and colleagues.
True.
And probably killed at least two other Jedi. And I think and was sneaking around, like looking to stab me in the back while I was driving the ship. Mm-hmm. So I think, like, you know, for everybody's safety, maybe it's not that bad idea to shackle this person
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I think shackling to the bed, like the laid down, it just has these creepy implications, you know, and we can see Saul is unraveling. Like, whatever's going on.
Something, there is something deeper
yeah,
here.
And I think it's quite clear.
Clearly.
So that the director of episode 3 is also the director of the next episode, episode 7. I think that we're going to get Osha using the Force inside the Cortosis helmet to see what really happened on Brendok. Okay, another question, an important thing. We get to see Venestra's really cool lightsaber, which is the whip lightsaber, which actually in the books is very controversial because people say that that's a dark side weapon. And let's be real, Venestra's whip, it looks a lot like it could have caused the scars on
yes.
Darth Bortle's back.
Yeah, because
you know?
The shape of them are, the shape of the scar, it's not a stab.
No.
Neither is it a slash. It's this kind of Y-shaped
yeah, it,
scar.
It,
so very
it's
interesting.
Very unusual. So I think we're going to find out what's going on with Vern. I think that Saul or Vern was, if it was Saul was his master, that might explain why Saul is so obsessed with his Padawans and he has this connection, especially if, like you had said, the Jedi High Council occasionally mind wipe Jedi after they've done something bad. So yeah. He could be in a situation where something happened where Vern accidentally, you know, struck him in a fight. I don't know. I had kind of been thinking, oh, the Jedi's going to come out of this looking really bad, which they are. And some of our Discord is not happy about it because obviously High Republic Jedi also did a lot of good stuff. But I am now leaning towards, I think it's going to be more of an accident or a misunderstanding or something, a misjudged choice rather than like they were sent there to genocide the witches. You know, I'm feeling like it's going to be more yeah. morally gray because the show has definitely been in that space.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that. I do wonder, you know, it seems like the Jedi High Council, whatever this inciting event from years ago mm-hmm. was, the Jedi High Council somehow is not aware of it. Mm-hmm. Like, this was a smaller thing.
Yeah.
Which makes me wonder, like, what are the main things that Jedi don't do mm-hmm. and don't want other Jedi to know that they're experiencing? I think attachment is one of them. So part of this makes me wonder if this isn't some, like, a family squabble in
yeah,
some
I,
fashion.
Yeah, I think you're right. Cause
a relationship or
yeah.
something that went wrong.
Also, maybe, like, Vern and Saul, when they were young, they found this kid who had been abandoned and they decided he was force sensitive and they kind of raised him as a child and then like let him go or kind of threw him away, as he says. I think that could be really interesting. And also another thing that we have to talk about here that's definitely very Sith coded with Kymet is like, he says he's very old. He's like, I was a really long time ago. And May's like, and Osha's like, I've never heard of you. Like, if you were a Jedi, I would have heard of you.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I was a Jedi like a long time ago. How long? Like, is he 100 years old? Is this some dark side magic keeping him young? I'm very interested to see. I truly do feel like this is so much to wrap up in 2 episodes when every episode has been like half an hour. But you know what? I'm going for the ride. I am deeply enjoying the show. I am enjoying how much Leslie is playing into how sexy Kymet is. Also, we have to shout out that Leslie Headland, the creator of this show, did an interview recently where she did say that this feels specifically targeted at us and Jason in particular. But she did say that Kymet and his kind of flowing robes, his bare arms, his lack of armor was inspired by Elden Ring
so
heroes.
Funny.
Like, let me solo her. Like, this idea that when
Legendary,
you summon
iconic,
someone,
let me solo her.
When you summon someone, they're the people you summon are often naked because they have to fight without any armor. Like, they have to prove that they can do it with no protection. And Leslie was like, those people are fucking crazy. And so that's the inspiration behind Chimer, which I just love. So yeah, very fun show. Things are going on. It's complex.
Well, we will continue our coverage of The Acolyte as the series moves towards its conclusion. Up next, Who's Who?
All right, what can I get you?
The brunch special, please.
Perfect. And you? Excellent choice.
Brunch is best when it's enjoyed with others. And who better to share it with than your four-legged bestie? Come by Park and Field at 3509 West Fullerton Avenue on July 27th and July 28th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. and get a free sample of Caesar, Neutro Ultra, Temptations, or Sheba pet food. Then sign up and enter to win free brunch for not just you, but your pet too. For more details, go to marsbrunchwithyourbestie.com.
Have you made the switch to Knix? Millions of women have made the switch to the revolutionary period underwear from Knix. That's K-N-I-X. Period panties from Knix are like no other, making them the number one leak-proof underwear brand in North America. They're comfy, stylish, and absorbent, perfect for period protection from your lightest to your heaviest days. They look, feel, and machine wash just like regular underwear, but feature incognito protection that has you covered. You can shop sizes from extra small to 4XL. Choose from all kinds of colors, prints, and different styles, from bikinis to boy shorts, thongs to high-rise. You've got to try Knix. See why millions are ditching disposable, wasteful period products and have switched to Knix. Go to knix.com and get 15% off with promo code TRY15. That's Knix.com, promo code TRY15 for 15% off life-changing period underwear. That's KNIX.com.
College Ave is here to help you pay for college. We offer a mix of loan options to fit your budget, and our application process is simple and stress-free. Go to collegeave.com, apply in minutes, and get an instant credit decision. It's that easy. Only at collegeave.com.
Every episode, we like to end with a fast-moving segment. This time around, we're going to Who's Who about our favorite Siths and our favorite lightsabers.
This is not like a deep cut, but my favorite weird Sith, not even that weird, but Asajj Ventress.
Oh, I think she's one of the best Siths ever. Like, that's just true.
For sure. Yes.
Yeah. Well, my favorite weird Sith is Darth Kaldoth, who is like a spooky alien, force-sensitive, like Duros male. But the only reason I know about him is because he wrote a book called The Bestiary of Darth Kaldoth. It's just like a weird encyclopedia of like cryptozoology. So he's just like a fucking nerd. Like, he is just like, he just loves creatures. And he just like wrote this book that's just all about like, oh, what's the weirdest animals in like the, you know, what about a Sith war beast or like a vegan dark? And I just love a nerd. So he's getting my love.
Favorite lightsaber?
Okay, so I think my favorite lightsaber ever is actually Cal Kestis's lightsaber.
Oh!
That you can snap and unsnap.
Yeah.
I just think that, I remember the first time.
It's like a travel lightsaber.
Yeah, I remember the first time I ever played that game. And you learn all these different stances, and then you learn you can dual wield it and you can snap it apart. I still think that is one of the coolest additions to like lightsaber canon. And hey, there may well have been someone in Legends who used it before, but that was the first time I'd kind of really gotten a hang and like realized how useful it would be to kind of have, they're almost like Nightwing style nightsticks, but you can join them together to be a double bladed laser. What's yours?
Darth Maul, double-bladed.
Oh,
just because
simple when but classic.
When Maul ignited it, it was like, that movie's not a great movie, and
dude,
I remember being in the theater and
as
feeling.
As soon as you said it, I had the same feeling.
And, yeah, feeling the crowd. You know, the crowd was like, "Oh no, this isn't that good." But then the final fight happens. That incredible duel, and when Maul like ignites the double-sided lightsaber, it was just like, ooh, like there is an electricity through the crowd. One of my favorite in the theater movie experience.
As soon as you said it, I've got my little hairs are up on my arm. The second, like, you think he's done it, and then the second one, and you're like,
yeah.
You're just like, oh!
Well, coming up on next week's episodes of X-Ray Vision, we're going to, of course, continue our coverage of House of the Dragon. And we're going to continue our coverage of The Acolyte. That's it for this episode. Thanks for listening.
Farewell, listeners.
X-Ray Vision is hosted by Jason Concepcion and Rosie Knight and is a production of iHeart Podcasts. Our executive producers are Joelle Smith and Aaron Kaufman. Our supervising producer is Abu Zafar. Our producers are Carmen Laurent and Mia Taylor. Our theme song is by Brian Vasquez.
Special thanks to Sol Rubin and Chris Lord, Kenny Goodman, and Heidi, our Discord moderator.
Does money stress you out? Let Facet flip your financial chaos into clarity.
We feel way more confident and secure in our finances, and with that comes a sense of freedom.
Financial planning from Facet is here to help you improve your life today, tomorrow, and every day after that.
Facet was really the place where we saw all of the tools and the people coming together.
Visit Facet.com, F-A-C-E-T.com to learn more. This ad is sponsored by Facet. Facet Wealth is an SEC-registered investment advisor. This is not an offer to buy or sell securities, nor is it investment, legal, or tax advice. These testimonials are from current Facet members who are not compensated. All opinions are their own and not a guarantee of a similar outcome.
This summer, it's time to get your giggle on. Pluto TV's Summer of Cinema is going to make you LOL with hundreds of free movies all summer long. Get a good chuckle or a deep belly laugh streaming Good Burger, Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, and Anchorman 2, The Legend Continues. From old school to think like a man, this summer you can chortle, howl, or snort your way through your favorite comedies for free. Download the Pluto TV app now. It's every couch potato's dream. Summer of Cinema on Pluto TV. Stream now, pay never.
State Farm and DJ Dramos from Life as a Gringo know making smarter financial moves today secures your financial freedom for a successful tomorrow.
Tackle these situations in stride and yeah, of course, be annoyed when an unplanned expense comes up, but not let it be something that slows me down, right? As I did with repairing my credit, you know, hiring somebody to do credit repair for me. That was a gift that I gave myself that allowed me to then, you know, get my first apartment.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm, proud sponsor of My Cultura Podcast Network.